When a young woman named Desiree vanishes without a trace, the trail leads to Kat Torres, a charismatic influencer with millions of followers. But behind the glamorous posts and inspirational quotes, a sinister truth unravels. Binge all episodes of Don't Cross Kat early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Hi, I'm Mr. Ballin, the host of Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. And each week on my podcast, you can expect to hear stories about bizarre illnesses no one can explain, miraculous recoveries that shouldn't have happened, and cases so baffling they stumped even the best doctors. Listen to Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Alfalfa Sprout Radio. Gentle morning to you. Today, we're going to continue our gratitude work from last session, but bring that energy to a place of forgiveness and maybe even strength. Find a place on the floor clear of sharp objects or wobbling, unstable towers of books. Take a seat. Try to be okay sitting in your power. Now, take that deep breath and feel the tendrils of potential weaving through your lungs. Let them become a silver eagle with a handgun that can track down your enemies and, oh, I don't know, I can't do this. Cease wonderment audio. Sorry, I've been hearing mindfulness podcasts are a big cash cow, and Daddy's gonna need an escape pod when this venture runs out of steam. Correction, when the public realizes this venture ran out of steam. But here we are, still in the magical window between expectation and disappointment. So, sit back, give that part of your human brain that imagines stuff a little flick, and enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is everything you need to know. About 4.5 years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Sorry, I'm carrying my equipment again, so it's a little harder for me to get through this whole beginning
Arnie,
part.
Hey, buddy, I do have good news for you.
Yeah, what's that, Chunk?
I found on the map, you know, like I said, the location of the winged whale.
Yeah,
The ship that's on the back of a flying whale.
Yeah.
So if we find that ship, we can fly anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
That way, we don't have to walk anymore. We don't have to walk to port.
That's true. That is, and I'm very much into that. Although, if we get on a flying...
Whoa, you're very much into that?
I'm very much into that.
It's happening. I don't need your approval.
Well, then why did you even tell me? Why are we even talking about it?
Yeah, you know, I found out that on this podcast that if I say something with confidence, I don't need your support on it.
Okay.
Because I realize if I look for your support, I don't get it.
Sure. Is this the time? Chun, are you doing okay,
buddy? I'm sorry. No, I'm just...
Chun, also, look. We are about to walk into an army camp. Like, we got to come in here with confidence, you know? Just because the leader of Velshmir gave us this army to help us fight the Dark Lord doesn't mean that we shouldn't still come in here with confidence.
Thou needs no confidence when thou dost astride a wizard. Simply stand by mine side and in mine shadow.
Wait, astride a wizard? Are you suggesting
stay in your shadow? Fuck you.
I interpret that as us riding you.
As mine companions, you shall be welcomed with open arms, for there is no greater boon to an army such as this as a powerful and mighty wizard.
Arnie, I think I know what's going on. We're all nervous.
We're a little bit nervous. I'm just kind
of... 40,000 soldiers, right? Was a weird guy, so we don't know how this army's going to be.
I'm just kind of not like... I don't really vibe with armies. It's not like it's not me like judging what it is to be in an army.
Also,
it's just,
your name's so close. Arnie.
Should I go by Arnold while I'm here just so the army doesn't get confused? Are they talking to me or are they talking to the army?
Might get self-conscious and start calling themselves Arnold.
And what use is an Arnold when you're fighting the Dark Lord? Arnie Niekamp is so close to Arnie Camp? Army camp, right?
Oh, my God.
You're a knee away from being in army camp.
Oh, no. I'm glad we're talking about this before we walk into the army camp.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very important that we know that your name is not too similar to the thing we're about to walk into.
Okay, so while we're in here, I'll be Arnold.
Yeah. But if we meet any resistance, we can call you Arnie Niekamp, And that way they think that you're 40,000 soldiers. What is it like if you're pretending to be 40,000 soldiers?
You like puff out that chest.
Okay.
You're just kind of wiggling back.
Hello, 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 hello. I don't know why they're all saying hello.
Yes.
I'm really invested in the word hello. I'm realizing that about myself.
Yes.
Hello.
From the Magic Tavern.
A weekly podcast from the Magical Land of Foon. Anyway, I'm carrying all this stuff. Usador, I kind of, you know, normally we start at a table, but I wanted to carry all this equipment so we can have this dynamic opening as we enter this camp. Would you mind, though, if, because this is, I'm very tired from carrying this, could I ride astride you into camp?
No, that would look foolish, but I could cast a spell upon you. I can pack a spell of eased burden.
Oh, that would be great.
Boy. You just bumped into that guy.
Sorry, sorry.
Watch out.
That sentry almost knocked
him
over.
Sorry, sorry.
I know we've been walking around for weeks, but I could cast a simple charm upon your pack to make it feel like you're carrying nothing at all.
That would be nice. Why didn't you do that before?
Also, I'm in the shape of a horse right now.
You didn't ask.
I'm not going to ride on you.
Yes, why not ride astride Chunt?
No. Love you, though, buddy.
When I'm a horse, my name is Stamina.
Hello, Stamina.
Let this pack here now lift and lift and lift, and unto Arnie now I do now cast this gift.
Wow, this is much better. I mean, my legs are still tired from walking, but hey, I think there's a big, really fancy tent up ahead. I think this might be the general's tent. Should we go in and...
We'll knock. How do you knock on canvas?
How do you knock on a tent?
You need not knock. You announce yourself from the outside, which I shall do now. General inside of this tent, I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiangalak, the dwarves know me as Zonin Huxtanges, and I am known in the northeast as Gasmoinius Maystar. And if you do announce yourself good general, I shall take knee and support thee in any way I can.
Oh, the flap is opening.
Usador?
Yes, I am Usador.
Okay, take a knee.
Here, on knee, I do now grant you this boon. I shall serve thine army, and serve it well, in the hopes of defeating evil where'er it doth raise its ugly head.
You are the first soldier I've recruited without having to make a lot of promises. This is great. You guys, what are your names?
I'm Arnold, not to be confused with Arnie or Army.
Shut up.
I'm not going to take a knee. I'm very sorry. With all due respect, it's just it'd be hard for me to get back up off the
ground. No, think about it. That's fine. Think about it. And you?
Let me change. I'm a shapeshifter. My name is Chunt. Sorry, I was a horse earlier. It's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
He's usually a badger like this.
You were a horse. This is my friend, a centaur, Jen.
Hello.
Oh, hey. Oh, hello. I don't know that I've ever met a centaur before.
How's it going?
Hi, Jen.
I liked you better as a horse.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Nice.
That makes sense.
And we've got some other performers in here. It's going late, rehearsal tonight, and I wouldn't say we're battle ready if you're coming to talk about any kind of battle plans. Hmm. We've become more of a collective.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
A collective. I didn't know soldiers rehearsed.
Historically, soldiers have put on shows for themselves. Jenny the Centaur here is in the process of writing some battle songs. In theory, those were going to lead us into battle. What's happened instead here? It's devolved into more of a bunch of soldiers not acting as a unit, but each of them pursuing self-fulfillment in various ways. And some cases, that involves the arts.
Oh.
And we seem to have lost sight of any final goal, although I'm happy to be reminded of like what we're all supposed to do together, what we're fighting.
Well, I must say, though we do come here to fight the forces of evil and to destroy the Dark Lord once and for all, we're huge supporters of the arts. We love the arts.
Well, it has its own pull, you find, and then it can become, like, we would have to be really provoked to say, all right, we're going to do what got us together here in the first place, and now we're going to fight, and we're going to take off, and we're going to do what we need to do. But in the meantime, I could see this ending where just I run out of money, because all along I thought, we're going to get by on what we're eventually going to pillage, I guess.
Oh, you're
going
to pillage?
I mean... Well, otherwise, I don't know.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm just in the red, which is okay, too, I guess.
You
what am I doing?
I've heard that only, like, 1 in 10 armies succeeds.
I mean, this one is burning through cash, honestly.
Sure. Oh,
we've got, like, 3 songs out of it so far.
Yeah. Well, the arts always need a patron.
It's always important that we give some tithe to the arts so that they may survive. So if this army has devoted itself to the arts, then we must support it, Arnie. Give them all your money.
Well, I don't...
All your money.
Okay, here, 3 coins. I mostly just forgot those were in my pocket.
3 coins?
I'm not really a money person.
You greedy old miser.
No, we'll take it. Yeah. I'll throw it at a couple of the guys with guitars when we're walking over to the mess hall.
Oh, great. Here, actually, you can have 2 of these coins. One of them is a coin to let people know that we are part of a secret order, the Silent Eye. But no one seems to know what that means. We're basically just trying to defeat the Dark Lord.
Well, let me ask you what I ask at the beginning of every meeting when I don't know why I'm there. Typically, it's my kids' meetings at school, when my kid used to be at school. Yeah. Why am I here in the middle of the day? Why did the teacher call all of us here?
Much like your children in the past, the Dark Lord is misbehaving, and now you've been drawn here so that we may spank him verily. Spank him as hard as it takes to destroy him once and for all.
With the help of 40,000 strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, yeah, we would need that help if he ain't misbehaving, but he is, so we need that.
Basically, the Dark Lord has taken over most of Foon, and maybe you're not aware of that because this is one of the few parts of Foon that he has not conquered. And so we actually met and talked with the ruler of Velshmir, the Kroomster, and he gave us his sigil to let you know that this army is kind of under our rule. Isn't the right word. What am I looking for?
Well,
here?
They're sure not under my rule.
Let me
tell you that.
Oh?
They might have been 2 months ago, 10 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But now everyone's sort of doing their own thing.
They really are. And I know we're at war because that's why I was convinced to come out of retirement. What they said to me, probably the same guy who told you you're in charge now, which would be great. What they said to me was your lifestyle is being threatened. Like you think you're just doing your own little thing here in your own little home, waking up when you wake up, eating your food, not interacting with people.
Yeah.
But what we need you to do is come out of retirement. Because your lifestyle is threatened. All of our lifestyle is threatened. Convince other people to band together. That's why we've got 40,000 now. But my ways of convincing them to band together are just killing me.
Well, what are some of the promises you've
money.
Made?
Money.
Oh.
And do your own thing. So it's a money and for what?
That's interesting. I mean, I feel like I'm by no means a military expert. From what I know about the military on my world, like blowing through a lot of money, that seems kind of on brand for military. But the whole like do whatever you want. That seems not like the usual way to go it.
Well, it has been proven that money is not necessarily the greatest motivator. If you want to start up an army, it's best to get some fun game tables around and perhaps like have some free drinks for everyone and maybe a place where people can nap.
General, can I ask, what's your name?
You know, I tell everyone to call me General Johnny, and that's and some of them now are just calling me Johnny.
I like that. It feels
everyone
so
likes,
informal.
Everyone likes it, but no one is ready to fight.
Has anybody ever called you General?
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 No, they've called Jenny the Centaur Gentor because she likes that kind of thing.
So it's Johnny and Jenny.
So she likes being the Centaur of attention?
Love being the Centaur
of attention.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, she likes combining words. She likes that kind of wordplay. Yeah.
Johnny, may I float this past you? You say your army is not ready to fight, but aren't there more ways to fight than with weapons? Are the arts themselves not their own form of resistance? And should we not destroy the Dark Lord by making more beautiful and wonderful things to make the world feel alive? But we still have to feed them somehow.
Feed them with song!
Feed their souls!
I do feel like Jenny sometimes makes the mistake of what started as a battle song. She'll write a song that's supposed to inspire us into battle, but as the conversation changes and someone will say, oh, but these 40,000 people need to be fed, she'll say, feed them with a song. And I will ask, is the song inspiration to fight or is the song food? Because I don't think every song can be all things.
Can I ask something? That pile of dead soldiers over there, were they fed with songs? Is that why they died? They looked very skinny.
I can't say one way or another, but I am probably going to eat them slowly over time.
Oh, my God.
So that's one meal you won't have to supply. 39,999 mouths.
Whatever you guys are saying right now, I'm in real denial about. Because if I acknowledge the reality of what you're telling me is over my shoulder, which would be horrific, which would be dead soldiers, I'm responsible for it. And you seem to be suggesting they could have even died of starvation when I'm trying my best to feed people. I would be horrified, and I'm not looking. What should we tell the guys? Here's the big question to me. since I've lost all authority over these people who theoretically are going to go and defeat the
Dark Lord.
Dark Lord. What can we do?
Do you give a lot of speeches to your men?
Mainly before shows.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. What can we do to convince them you guys are in charge when I've already lost my sense of authority?
Oh, that's a very good
one. I'm really feeling what Johnny's putting down here. First of all, my reality is incredibly selective. I just pick out the parts that I like and focus on that. Second of all, I believe that if we were to insert ourselves as the leaders of this army, a great wizard, a shapeshifter, and a man from another world. You look upon a man who did walk through a magical portal from another world into this one.
I'm from another world, yeah.
And if that does not inspire these soldiers to either paint to their heart's delight, create songs that inspire the very soul, or to pick up a sword and to stab every demon and orc that they see, then I know not what will. We shall take this burden on for thee. We shall lead this army in thine place.
Why don't we take a quick break, and then maybe, if you don't mind, General, and I hate to invite myself in, and it sounds weird that I'm calling attention to it. It's not because I'm a vampire or anything. Would you mind inviting us into your...
Arnie.
What?
Do you know how fucking gauche it is to ask Johnny if you can sit on the couch? Johnny calls you to the couch, okay? If you do a good enough job, he calls you over, okay?
I think I've done a pretty good job so far in this conversation.
I've already said take my army. I'm definitely going to say take my couch.
Okay, great.
Great.
So I was just wondering if we could kind of set up our stuff inside the tent.
Yes, but because all I was going to say, though, is that I can't tell my people these guys are in charge now because I'm barely in charge. You've got to tell them something that, like, you exposed me. Look at this guy, General Johnny. He's full of shit. We're the tough guys now. Just give me a punch in the gut. I don't care.
Oh, my gosh, Johnny.
Show them that, whatever you need to do to debase me, to show them that this is your gig now, that's fine. I'll crawl out of here.
Guys, real quick. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I mean, this is some pretty good advice from General Johnny. But on the other hand, I just worry a little bit that, like, he's trying to trick us into debasing him. He's just into that kind of thing.
It is possible, but let's take a short break and then cook up a scandal.
Everyone has that friend who seems kind of perfect. For Patty, that friend was Desiree. Until one day...
I texted her and she was not getting the text. So I went to Instagram. She has no Instagram anymore. And Facebook, no Facebook anymore.
Desiree was gone. And there was one person who knew the answer.
I am a spiritual person, a magical person, a witch.
A gorgeous Brazilian influencer called Kat Torres, but who was hiding a secret. From Wondery, based on my smash hit podcast from Brazil, comes a new series, Don't Cross Cat, about a search that led me to a mystery in a Texas suburb.
I'm calling to check on the two missing Brazilian girls.
Maybe get some undercover crew there.
The family are freaking out. They are locked.
I'm Chico Feliti. You can listen to Don't Cross Cat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know those creepy stories that give you goosebumps? The ones that make you really question what's real? Well, what if I told you that some of the strangest, darkest, and most mysterious stories are not found in haunted houses or abandoned forests, but instead in hospital rooms and doctor's offices? Hi, I'm Mr. Ballin, the host of Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. And each week on my podcast, you can expect to hear stories about bizarre illnesses no one can explain, miraculous recoveries that shouldn't have happened, and cases so baffling they stumped even the best doctors. So if you crave totally true and thoroughly twisted horror stories and mysteries, Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries should be your new go-to weekly show. Listen to Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
In the early hours of December 4th, 2024, CEO Brian Thompson stepped out onto the streets of Midtown Manhattan.
This assailant pulls out a weapon and starts firing at him.
We're talking about the CEO of the biggest private health insurance corporation in the world.
And the suspect,
he has been identified as Luigi Nicholas Mangione,
became one of the most divisive figures in modern criminal history.
I was targeted, premeditated, and meant to sow terror.
I'm Jesse Weber, host of Luigi, produced by Law and Crime and Twist. This is more than a true crime investigation. We explore a uniquely American moment that could change the country forever.
He's awoken the people to a true issue.
Finally, maybe this would lead rich and powerful people to acknowledge the barbaric nature of our healthcare system.
Listen to Law and Crime's Luigi exclusively on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
All right, we're back. And I'm so sorry, General. I want to set some of this equipment down on this table. Do you mind if I just kind of move some of these maps and things off of this table? Sit down my mic.
Some of these maps are just show posters.
Oh, some of these shows look really good. What are some of the shows that your army has put on?
I mean, there was a show called An Hour or So of Lerner and Lowe. One guy running around the stage, and I'd never heard any of these songs before.
Sure. That's fantastic.
Lerner and Lowe. And it went for an hour.
Yeah.
Every song a hit, in my mind.
Wow. Usador Chun, who are Lerner and Lowe?
They were two college kids who killed another kid.
Oh, no.
I think I'm thinking of the right...
Well, yeah, but they're wonderful songsters. One of them's a teacher, Lerner, obviously. The other one's only about 3 inches high.
So Lerner.
Lerner and Lowe.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic.
But it was just like a big deal in Foon. It like set some of like the precedents in court in terms of like, you know, if you kill someone or like who's an adult and what, you know, all that jazz.
General, Johnny, you seem so drawn to the arts.
May I tell you about one more play?
Oh, please.
Oh, you're the general.
Yeah. Yes.
It was just two guys. Locked up, like they're up against a wall, and they're in chains. You don't know what they've been accused of. You don't know how long they've been locked up. You don't know where you are.
Oh, sure.
It's existential drama.
Oh,
and they're just talking. I was captivated.
How long was this show?
Just a few hours, and I felt like, and after I saw that, that's when I thought we've got to do more shows where people are just spilling their guts out there, and it's like poetry.
Yeah. So you're saying, look. We have a group of people who hypothetically might be going off to their death soon. Instead of doing entertainment that is uplifting and motivating, let's really dig into the existential emptiness of life, into the sort of dread and like, does anything mean anything?
I mean, this play in particular appealed to me because I lost my daughter, my only child.
I'm
guess
so
that's
so
why
so
I became
sad.
A hermit. No, thank you. So I became a hermit. Yeah.
This might be weird. She died or you lost her?
No, she died.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, good question, though.
Yeah.
If we're being literal here all of a sudden,
yeah,
it's a great question.
Oh, yeah.
She died.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask how she died?
People die so many ways.
That is
true.
That is
true. She fell off a cliff, whatever. I'm a hermit.
Yeah.
And we are being literal, but it's not all of a sudden.
No. Thank you. I wouldn't know that. I'm a hermit.
That's fair. That's
sure,
fair.
Yeah.
When you're a hermit, like living on a cliff like I was doing before I was recruited, like I'm going to leave, it'll be like you never saw me, it's your army now. You don't have a child safe house.
Yeah. Oh, sure. No. Mm-hmm. You probably don't. If you're a hermit, you don't expect to have a child in that house at all.
No, it's like why monks don't have a lot of kids running around, monks on a hillside.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't see four-year-olds.
Yeah. Do you?
You don't see four-year-olds.
You don't see four-year-olds.
At all.
But no, I can see four-year-olds. I'm not blind to four-year-olds. I don't have like four-year-old blindness.
Unless you've been blind for 4 years.
If I'm at a monk's shrine, I don't see a bunch of four-year-olds running around.
What happened to the mother of your, you know, you're a hermit, you've got a daughter. What's like, not to pry into your love life.
She did not fulfill her responsibilities.
Oh.
Maybe that's not an entertaining answer. But, you know, just us in the tent.
It's cryptic.
Jenny knows this already. Yeah. She did not fulfill her adult responsibilities as a mother. And she took off.
Oh, I see.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Could be anywhere.
Is there a way, could you tell that story again, but make it entertaining?
About the lady taking off?
Yeah. Because you said it's not an entertaining answer, but what would it look like if it was?
Let's give him some notes on this story.
Let's spice it up a little bit.
I mean, she got together with me even though she knew I was impossible.
Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
I was like, hey, I'm impossible.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change.
Yes.
She said, you're not going to change.
Yeah.
In the interim, she'd become pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to change.
Yeah.
And she left.
Yeah.
You see, Johnny.
I think the lesson here is when you're dating someone and they tell you they're impossible, you should believe them. Like, you should believe that they're impossible.
And when they tell you their story is not entertaining, I would believe them, my friend.
Johnny, we love this story. We love it. We just have a couple of notes. So we just like, there's some things to kick around. I lost my daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. When your wife, your the mother of your child, I don't know if you had engaged in the bonds of matrimony or not. When she left, perhaps she left because she was actually a mystical creature from another realm.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about just a spice of the story? Just a few notes to think about. You don't have to incorporate them, but it's something to think about.
And it's even something of like, if I'm just, you know, traversing the land, if I'm going to like the forum or something, you know, if I'm telling a story, I'm like, I just went to the forum, right? Maybe something happened along the way.
Oh, and what if she has a bunch of interesting hats?
Yeah. And she's finishing the hats.
I'm smiling. I'm smiling for three reasons right now. And let me say, it is funny that I left this out of the story.
Sure.
My ex-wife, when I say she left, she did fly away. She flew away.
Oh. There you go. Oh.
See, that's an important detail.
I'll fly away. She'll fly away. That's
and
beautiful.
When I say I believe my daughter fell, she'd begun to sprout wings, but her mother wasn't there to teach her to fly, so she fell. So that could I could have included that.
Yep, there you
very
go.
Good. Very
wow,
good.
Wow, now we're cooking.
Well, I'm very enthralled by the shows that you've put on and the wonderful sort of art that you're doing here. One of my favorite plays of all time is, of course, Automaton Constable, the story of a constable struck down before his time and turned into a mechanical man. But what other music and fine things you've done here? Gentar has a musical instrument with her? What sort of musical inspiration do you have at the ready?
Well, the general's been having me work on songs to promote, you know, togetherness, the group mentality, try to, like, bring everyone together and also lift morale.
Because morale is so bad and everyone is doing their own thing.
The smell of the bodies, and yes, we're very disorganized.
I love that. I mean, from my world, I feel like when I think about the military, I think of, like, tearing people down so that they become almost like automatons, but maybe just using art to inspire the soldiers to in the battles they're about to have.
I hate to ask, but would you do us the honor of playing a song?
Yeah, I would love to be inspired.
I would love to do that, and maybe you can tell me how it affects you and give me some of your notes.
Yes.
If you have any notes, I would love them.
Let it wash over us.
Yes. Okay, cool. Well. Great, okay. Positive, togetherness, hooray. Morale. Pass me down a bowl full of time-bend minds sending rainbows. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? Huh?
Wanna die?
Yeah, what are you? I mean, it's important to keep some realism in there.
Yeah.
So, moving on.
I think it probably gets more positive.
Yeah. Compared to the blackness descending, blunder is just slightly dim. There'll be horror and doom never ending when the DL's dark rule doth begin. So pass me down a bowl full of time-bend minds sending rainbows. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? When he starts up the mass immolation, if somehow you chance to survive, look forward to evisceration. No one's going to get out alive. Goddess, pass me down a bowl full of time-bend minds sending rainbows. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? The flaying and skinning is just the beginning of all that's in store from that evil dark lord. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? And then the big finish, we're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl?
Oh, wonderful. Wow. Very good. Very good. We loved that. We loved that.
That was great.
We have a couple of notes.
I'm ready.
Okay. It is a little negative.
In what way?
The flaying.
The skinning.
Skinning.
Everyone's going to die.
Well,
to be fair...
Oh, I thought she was going to burst into a song.
I never specifically say who is going to be the recipient of the flaying and skinning. Mm, so it's nice. Open to interpretation.
Oh, I see. So it's sort of like a story of like, look, we're going into war and a lot of people are going to be flayed and skinned and died. And it sort of sounds like implicitly the Dark Lord is going to win this battle. But maybe, but I don't inherently mean you, dear listener, that you're going to die. Just, you're going to see a lot of people die around you.
If I may, because this happened under my watch here, I believe the song is very drug positive.
Oh, okay.
I believe what Jenny's suggesting and the regimen we've been pursuing involves smoking in the mornings.
Oh.
Because we're all going to die later, and then some of the soldiers, poets, have been using it for inspiration.
Okay. Oh, smoking in the morning, smoking in the evening, smoking at supper time. When the army's doomed to die, you can smoke at any time.
Did we bring that out of you? How did that just happen?
I don't know. It was just like a jingle that just spouted forth.
It's such a creative environment.
I think, General, honestly, I give it up to you.
Thank you. I mean, no, if you guys can continue that while reinstating some authority over the gang.
Yes, this is a very creative environment, and I am inspired. And I know that we must, make Johnny look like a fool if we are to take his place.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. We gotta punch him in the stomach or something.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if we have to actually assault
fucking
him.
Piss on him or something.
Well, maybe. No idea is a bad idea. No idea is a bad idea. So we want to maybe piss on you, maybe punch you. But I was thinking maybe.
Shit.
Oh, terrible things.
Well, let's...
Oh, he's grinning ear to ear.
I'm thinking a different direction.
Jenny, is there anything you would want to do to the general?
Keeping in mind, we're all going to die, Jenny.
Yeah. You're a big old centaur, so you could do some real damage.
I feel like maybe if Chun is going to stay a horse for a little while, maybe we could get a little... oh, my gosh. We could get some ropes.
Okay.
A
drawn quarter room.
Yes, this is what I'm talking about. Little rope on the wrist, rope on the other wrist, rope on the ankle, rope on the other ankle. Maybe we meet a couple other horses or centaurs.
So, Arnie, what happens is if you want to draw and quarter someone, you tie ropes to four horses. You tie those ropes to also the other ends of four limbs on a person, and then you draw them. And oh boy, they look so fucking stupid. They're all stretched out,
This is a good point.
When you untie them and let them go, they can't go back to that society. They've been embarrassed.
I'll hang that on my wall, and I don't want to go back to society. I want to go home.
And then you toss them a quarter, and you go fuck off.
Speaking of which, General, I didn't mention it before, but behind you, there's a giant tapestry of you being shit on.
Oh, so you've been drawn.
Everyone is so creative.
Now, these are all wonderful ideas, but we do run the risk of making the general into a martyr. So it could work against us.
Like Mulder.
And I will say, they like me. These guys like me because these resentments I've shared with you about I'm hemorrhaging money, why did I do this? They don't know that. All they know is they're having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
Which is why if we do these things, there must also be a disinformation campaign. We must spread terrible rumors about Johnny around the camp.
Yes.
Things like... Did you know that General Johnny's socks don't match today? Ooh, what's up with that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What other terrible things could we say about him?
He's got a 1-inch penis and he's angry about it.
Whoa. Ooh, yes, that's
Johnny did not like some of the stuff you're working on. Like, that could, like, going directly to people.
Oh, my God. If you go around the camp right now, if you guys are willing to do this, and just go from person to person and say, General Johnny has a few notes. By morning.
Yeah.
Chaos.
And hatred and resentment. Yes, we shall do this very eve. We shall go about and say, Johnny heard that song. He said, that's pretty good, but you know, there's a few ideas he wants to throw past you.
Just workshop it.
Make sure you bring all of your sheet music because we're going to have to totally rework it.
So just so we're clear, we're going to start with the rumors or the shitting, which is the...
But also, by the way, if you say notes, say you disagree with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Good idea.
You know what? Do you mind? Like, I feel like, weirdly, like, this is something I feel like you're very... good at. You know, you just need someone to do it to you. Like, could I see an example? Like, I'll be one of the soldiers. Will you tell me how I should do it?
Sure. Yeah. And also, by the way, you don't have to shit on me. Just basically, we accumulate some shit in here. It could be anyone's. It could be mine. There's a big trough over there.
It's ours.
It's a very big trough.
And I go running out there. Oh, these guys shit on me. They're more powerful than I am. These people rained shit on me, and now they're mocking me.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah. That's great.
All I can do is crawl home. Go with these guys.
Why are you always crawling? Anytime you talk about going somewhere, you're always crawling.
That's for fun. And also, that's a disincentive. I say fun. It's a disincentive to leave my home. Because if I know that any adventure I go on, ultimately, I'm crawling back home.
Yeah.
Why leave? Which is what I said to your leader when he said to me, take over this army, and I didn't want to.
Yeah, never.
And I knew I would have to crawl home.
Never go further away than you're willing to crawl back.
And when you're crawling home, is that because, you know, your partner left? Like, your Mrs. gone?
It's just somehow I leave home, things go wrong, I become less than myself. Yeah. I learn the same lessons over and over again, and I crawl back home, I guess like a baby.
Oh.
Like a baby. I guess I'm being reborn in a sense at the end of this adventure.
And I didn't want to point it out, but you are wearing a giant diaper right
now. Yeah, that's something.
Well, and we're talking about shit a lot. And I will say that one of the speeches I gave to my people when I was saying, Evren, do whatever they want. I want you all to feel safe. I want Evren to have their own tiny tent. You don't have to share tents. It can be like a return to when before you were born and became a baby and felt safe.
Yeah.
Wow. An army of babies. But then no one's so scared of that.
Yes, it is difficult to be scared of an army of babies.
I thought they would be. I thought they would be powerful.
But what if you used this disadvantage to your advantage? If we have an army of babies, what if we don't attack with that army? But we tell our enemies that they must now raise these babies. What greater burden is there?
Nothing is more powerful than a baby, let me say that, in your life. But again, you wanted me to roleplay, so I'm you. All I do is I go up to someone and I say, hey, that song that you wrote, General Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to put on a voice.
Yeah, just so you know, I'm Arnie Camp.
It's Arnold.
I'm Arnold, and...
Because when you said Arnie Camp, I thought you were talking about you all, the whole army.
This is a voice.
I should have called myself Arnold to avoid confusion. Anyway, I was just getting to know the general back there, and he's a little.
Did he say anything about my songs?
You know, he did. That's what I was going to tell you. I don't want to volunteer it because I barely know you, but I also don't want you going through any more bullshit. He's in there smiling to everyone's face, like, I love your work. Take some more food. We're all having a great time there.
He said those things to me.
Yeah, he says it to everybody, which also, why is it so special if he said to everyone? And that, I wish that's the worst thing I was telling you, is that, you know how he told you you're brilliant?
Yeah.
He tells everyone they're brilliant. I wish that's what I had to tell you, and that would hurt, right? That made me think maybe I'm not brilliant.
I mean, maybe we're all brilliant.
Yeah, maybe it's nice to be loved unconditionally, but I don't feel special anymore. I feel like, also, by the way, whatever character you're playing here is condescending to the common man, and I love the common man, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'm being you. I'm playing you with respect, and you're playing the common man like he's a fucking idiot?
Yeah.
I guess he is, in your mind. Okay, let's push through this improv. So anyway, then I would say, no, it's not just they think
that should be the name of this show. Let's push through this improv.
Every improv. Why every is improv.
Our podcast should be called Let's Push Through This Improv, Arnie. Just a quick note. Go back to the scene.
So he says to you,
I've got a rich inner life.
Okay, so he says to you, anyway, he tells you he thinks brilliant, but in there, this two-faced guy is saying, I don't think he's that talented. I didn't like his song. I think he's just copying the other guy's song. There's maybe one talented person in camp. Everyone else is copying that talented person, and that talented person is just self-destructing.
I mean, I pulled some elements from that other song.
Well, as far as he's concerned,
it's like an homage. It's not really a copy.
Yeah, he didn't. He thought it was basically an homage to mediocrity. Is what Johnny General said.
That's the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
No, an homage to mediocrity.
Yeah, he thinks basically you've got 40,000 untalented people ripping each other off, is what he said to me. And he said, I don't know if I can sit through another performance. He said, I'd rather they killed me. I'd rather they slayed me than sit through another performance. And so I said to him, I'm you now. Would you rather they shit in your face? Because that's what I'm going to do right now, because I like those guys out there. I like them, and I've even met them, and they seem like a great bunch of guys, and they deserve better. And I shit in his face.
Thank you, Arnold. I will join you in shitting in his face.
No, we did it already. We did it.
Oh, why didn't you tell me when the shooting was going to happen?
No, that's fine. You're going to join me in battle.
I've got such FOMO right now.
You're going to join me in battle. Yeah. We're going to shit in the enemy's face.
All right.
Yeah. All 40,000 of us.
That's a lot of shit.
And other weapons. Just because we shit in General Johnny's face doesn't mean that's what we're doing to the enemy. I shouldn't have even taken it that far. I just thought you were stupid and I had to go with it.
Well, General Johnny, or if I may say General, you've been really surprisingly helpful. I came in here a little intimidated and worried that this sort of transfer of power was going to be difficult, but you've been more helpful than is even really makes sense to me.
Can I apologize for two things?
Yes.
Of course.
I apologize for not presenting you with a more battle-ready, battle-tested force, and I apologize for dominating the conversation.
Oh!
Because even though I'm a hermit, I get around people and I get excited.
You're I do not
very
think
chatty for
never,
a hermit.
Never apologize for being excited.
And you need not apologize for either of these things, for thou art a delight, and thou hast left us with an army of wonderful artists who shall be turned into bloodthirsty murderers very soon.
And Johnny, I know we're sort of moving towards the end here, but I've got to ask, what? You seem so personable. Like, what led you to a life of hermitry?
I mean, partly the tragedy, I suppose.
Oh,
with the,
yeah.
But
sure.
Also, I was a hermit before that. I can't say that. I can't say it was the tragedy. I was always a hermit.
Oh, really?
I like doing my own thing.
Yeah. Mm. You know what? I feel like sometimes I want to be among people, but sometimes I just want to be a hermit. I need some hermit time.
I need to recharge. I need to crawl home and recharge. And when it's time for me to go, whatever, smear the shit on me and tell me to go running out there.
I mean, well, how about this? Let's do an email, and then we'll grab this giant trough of shit and pour it on you.
Sure.
And, General, can I just say that this has been a delight and that you are, I don't know if you realize this, you're a triple threat.
Wow.
Yeah. You can improvise, you can be shit on, and you can crawl.
I'm going to lift up my robes. I want to leave something in this trough.
Okay.
We do have an email here. Of course, you can email us at magictavern@puppies.supplies. You can also email me at chunt@gmail.com. That's chunt with six T's, of course.
I still don't know how you were able to get a Gmail address.
Yeah, I just figured it out. This is from Kate Darwish. She says, love the show. Dear Arnie, Chunt, and Usador, I grade all my...
It's Arnold, but...
Okay. Dear Army, Chunt, and Usador, I grade all my high school students' work while listening to your show. Thank you for helping me keep my sanity. This is from Oakland, CA.
Oh, well.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. We're glad to help thee in any way we can.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this person would truly go insane?
I don't know. Oh, I know what to do. Let's help her grade the papers. So let's help her out with that.
Well, does she say what she teaches in the...
Does she say what the grading scale is?
She teaches high school, which must be a subject.
I was a creative writing TA in grad school, and when I graded papers, like, if I didn't know what to do, I would just, like, underline something and write awkward.
Did you ever have a real job?
I mean, briefly. I mean, does working in video games count?
I give the first paper she is grading a 784 out of 790.
I would give the second or third paper two paws up.
General, what grading recommendation would you give?
I didn't feel like that teacher was asking for a grading recommendation.
Oh,
you don't think Kate was asking for that?
No.
We have inserted our own feelings upon this person.
Was there even a question there? What was the question?
There wasn't a question.
I think that's a teacher who enjoys your show, enjoys grading papers during your show, and that, for me, makes me feel even more confident about handing you my tent and everything along with it, the stage. I mean,
ideally,
you guys can stay here for a while. It's a nice environment for fostering creativity.
Johnny.
And Kate didn't ask a question, but if you need one, I'd say, like, Kate maybe asked, like, I don't know, kiss me, ? That's a question.
She sure wasn't asking what number to give out of 790.
Yeah.
Johnny, it has been an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Ah, this was wonderful.
Yeah.
And Gentar, nice to meet you.
Oh, likewise.
Now, get the hell out of here.
Wait.
What?
Let's dump this shit on him. All right.
Okay, there we go.
Fantastic.
Smiling ear to ear.
They got me, guys. Covered in shit, gotta go. Look at me. These guys got me good. I'm powerless.
I'm going to miss that guy.
He was a wonderful mentor. He gave all these people an opportunity to be who they truly were, to find their inner selves and release it upon the page or the canvas. And now, covered in feces as he is, he crawls back to his hovel where none shall see him again.
I feel like John Orr really coaxed out my creativity. I didn't know I had it in me.
Well, you're part of a company.
Yeah. I guess now it's our time to strip all that down and turn this army into a mindless killing machine.
Finishing the hat.
Turn off the dark.
Just for once, Arnie.
Pass me down a bowl full of time-bend minds sending rainbows. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? Compared to the blackness descending, Blunder is just kinda dim. There'll be horror and doom never ending when the DL's dark rule doth begin. So pass me down a bowl full of time bend mind sending rainbows. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? When he starts up the mass immolation, if somehow you chance to survive, look forward to evisceration. No one's going to get out alive. Goddess, pass me down a bowl full of time bend mind sending rainbows. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? The flaying and skinning is just the beginning of all that's in store from that evil dark lord. We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl? We're all gonna die, so why not just stay high on the haze of a whipped rainbow bowl?
Well, if the Dark Lord does usher in the apocalypse, it'll have a nice soundtrack. Yuzuru the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Shapeshifter was played by Adol Refai. Johnny General, or the General, was played by special guest John Levenstein, who's written on Arrested Development, Silicon Valley, and ooh, The Gina Davis Show! Big deal in the room! I wonder if that shared continuity with Cutthroat Island. Oh, that's too much to hope for. He also wrote the recent Netflix special, Frankenstein's Monster's Monster, Frankenstein, starring David Harbour. His Earwolf podcast is John Levenstein's Retirement Party. Jenny the Centaur was played by special guest Jenny Owen Youngs. Visit JennyOwenYoungs.com, where she's releasing new music monthly. Sure, pace yourself. And check out her podcast, Buffering the Vampire Slayer, where she revisits every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and performs a new original song about every single episode. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adol Refai. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Earwolf producer, Kimmy Lucas. This episode edited by Garrett Schultz. Generic special assistance by Ryan DeGiorgi. Hello from the Magic Tavern logo by Allard Laban. Magic Tavern theme by Andy Poland.
They got me covered in shit. Gotta go. Look at me. These guys got me again. I'm powerless. Listen to these guys.
In 1976, a Georgia native, Navy veteran, and peanut farmer named Jimmy Carter won his bid for the presidency. What Carter didn't know then was that the next 4 years would be the most difficult he could ever imagine. Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's podcast, American History Tellers. We take you to the events, times, and people that shaped America and Americans, our values, our struggles, and our dreams. In our latest series, we explore Jimmy Carter's time in the White House, from his unexpected presidential victory as an outsider vowing to clean up Washington, to his remarkable diplomatic breakthroughs and legislative accomplishments on energy, education, and the environment. But Carter also faced crushing challenges as he worked to lead the country through energy shortages, sky-high inflation, and the Iran hostage crisis. Follow American History Tellers on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest season only on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.